Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you guys are recording.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. I'll record and clap.
Okay.
Go for it.
1, 2, 3. So my name is Eddie Rubalcaba, lifelong photographer in Boyle Heights, East Los Angeles, covering the East LA party scene, backyard party scene from the 90s.
Eddie Rubalcaba is showing me around Homeboy Art Academy, an art studio in Boyle Heights. He's currently the main photographer at Homeboy Industries, a nonprofit that offers services and support for formerly incarcerated or gang-involved people. Eddie is showing me a series of framed photographs, all photos he's taken.
Well, that's the girls' party crew. You know, they knew me as the street beat photographer, and these were friends from high school.
Many are of childhood friends he grew up with, or people he met in the party crew scene in East LA in the 90s.
I'm in touch with them.
He shows me a black and white picture that he took of a party crew simply called The Girls. The girls are posed around a motorcycle.
This was a photo shoot for their party crew going down Melrose in Hollywood. The Harley Davidson was another like style that comes with the bike riding, you know, the biker boots and the leather vest.
Some of them are smiling, some are more serious, and everyone's wearing a dark shade of lipstick.
There's about 9 other photos with this series of pictures. But the girls are wearing their muscle shirt, their like biker pants or like bootcut Levi jeans with big belt buckles.
They're all wearing high-waisted jeans with their tees and tank tops tucked in to show off their black leather belts. It's a very 90s look, the kind that never goes out of style. Eddie tells me that he didn't even have copies of a lot of these pictures until a few years ago, when a friend passed along some negatives he found.
Like this girl right here in the middle, I forgot her name, but she was like the only one with some kind of sexy little jumpsuit.
Yeah. I love seeing images of women just like super, you know, powerful. Like they look so like, you know, just like, boom. Yeah.
In the picture, the women are frozen in time at 17 or 18, high schoolers. There's something about seeing them at this moment in their lives and knowing they are in their late 40s with probably so many stories to tell. From iHeart's Mike Lututa Podcast Network, Vice, and Elias Studios, this is Party Cruise, The Untold Story. I'm Janice Yamoka. In this bonus episode, I talked to photographer Eddie Rubalcaba.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Part of why I wanted to talk to Eddie in this bonus episode was that he was a documenter of the scene. His work represents a link to the past that helps me understand the history of the underground party scene I was a part of.
Was Street Beat the first publication that you were published in?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Street Beat was the first.
Street Beat magazine was a magazine that was made for party crews. Maybe the only one ever. It was a big deal in the 90s. And it was the first place that Eddie had one of his photographs published.
In those days, you know, one out of 1,000 people might have had a camera in society. It was more for me to be able to shoot for Street Beat was like my backstage pass to anywhere.
The earliest issues were black and white, Xeroxed, and stapled together. Very DIY. Each issue of Street Beat featured local party crews, their fashion, their music, stories about their neighborhoods, and lots of posed pictures, like the one Eddie took.
I was like, I'm just having fun and taking pictures at the same time, and partying, drinking, dancing with the girls and all that stuff.
Were you just showing your camera and you're like, press?
Yeah, I mean, like, so if I had my camera and big flash and all, whatever, and the reputation that carried me was like, oh, there's Eddie and Street Beat, Eddie Beat.
Eddie and Street Beat magazine were part of the party crew scene a decade before my time. The party crew scene has had several generations, each with its own unique flair, which, according to Eddie, goes all the way back to the 70s and 80s.
My older sister, she was class of 88.
What was your sister's crew?
She was from Dynasty Desires. Yeah.
Dynasty Desires.
Yeah.
Does she have a nickname?
I think they had nicknames for each other, but I don't recall her having one.
Mm-hmm.
They recently got back together. And I was just making fun of them.
I'm like, you guys, are you making fun of them?
You guys aren't Dynasty Desires. You guys are Dinosaur Desires. Just messing with them, you know?
The music of the time, the fashion, and pop culture really defined the crews from my era. And I imagine it was that way for every era.
The party scenes that exploded during the 90s were basically deriving from what evolved originally coming from like the disco era of the 80s in Los Angeles, East Los Angeles. Our fashion and style was different. Mm-hmm. So the disco era was more like influenced by Madonna, the big hair.
Mm-hmm.
And all the girls had the big, what they call cha-cha hair. And that's where the Aquanet influence or style of hair came from. You might hear Par 106 has a disco flashback session they call the Aquanet set.
Yeah.
Because that relates to the disco hair of that time.
Women would douse their hair with Aquanet hairspray and would tease their hair into a fluffy wave, rising half a foot above their heads.
And then the guys had the disco mullets. Mm. So pompadour in the front, shaved on the sides along the back. And that was like a disco mullet for the guys in those mid to late 80s.
The 80s disco vibes gave way to a retro greaser style in the 90s, or what was known as rebel style. Think James Dean in Rebel Without a Cause.
You're tearing me apart!
What?
You say one thing, he says another, and everybody changes back again!
Leather jackets and slick back shiny hair.
The party crew that I hung out with was the Ruthless Ones.
Ruthless Ones.
And they had their first party in my mom's backyard.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
That was a great party, but...
Did you ever join them?
No, I can't say I did. They were all my friends. That's who I hung out with. The images on those flyers were like of James Dean, Betty Page, Marilyn Monroe, The Outsiders. The Outsiders movie kind of images. These classic Hollywood iconic images of greasers and rebels and those kind of characters.
The first time Eddie picked up a camera was as a student at Roosevelt High School when he was asked to photograph a baseball tournament.
So I played baseball and football at Roosevelt.
Roosevelt High School in Boyle Heights is a high school with a lot of history. Students in the 60s participated in the East LA walkouts.
The Boyle Heights Giants was a traveling baseball league or team in a traveling league. They had a tournament for the spring break of 89 up in San Francisco, and I was invited to come along as I took pictures. I'm like, oh, hell yeah. I was all into sports. So I was working at a pharmacy on Soda and First. That's gone now. And every time these magazines would go out of date, they would throw them out. I'm like, hey, let me take them. So I'd take all these sports pictures out, cut them out, and I made like a big old collage on my room wall of sports images.
After he graduated in 1991, he enrolled in ELAC, East Los Angeles College.
To take my first photography class there. And I'm taking pictures in these backyards. I learned how to use flash on the camera. I get my own camera. I'm shooting black and white film.
Eddie started taking his camera everywhere with him, even to parties too. And one day, at a party in 1991, someone stopped him.
And then I get recruited by Marty Beat from Street Beat Magazine.
Marty Beat, whose real name was Martin Casado, was the brain and the soul behind Street Beat Magazine.
This is a new issue of Street Beat Magazine, August-September issue.
He's since passed away.
Featuring.
Here he is in a commercial from the early 90s. You can hear his enthusiasm for the magazine.
And the number one thing, me, Marty Beat, is most proud of, the first out-of-state party rave scene, as you can see.
Street Beat started when Marty Xeroxed and distributed DIY copies of it himself, with party crew culture and fashion as the main focus.
Street Beat Magazine, available in the newsstands now, Raza. It loves you. Street Beat Magazine, get it while it's hot.
What was the encounter like?
You were just like partying?
Yeah, we were just at a party and like, hey, I see you got your camera, man. I'm Marty B from Street B Magazine. And I was like, oh, okay, what's up? Yeah, I heard about this magazine and it's just started getting out.
A few years later, Street B would get noticed and acquired by a big magazine publisher. The same one that published Lowrider Magazine, a top-selling auto magazine at the time, dedicated to candy-colored lowrider cars. Legit stuff.
And as it started to get in more popularity and momentum, it started getting wider distribution. Wherever Lowrider was distributed, Street B would go as well. So before you know it, that rebel scene that you've seen out of this area was in the valley in Orange County, and there were rebel crews everywhere. You didn't have social media influence back then. You had Street Beat though. And Street Beat got out and its distribution got wider and wider. And the party crews that you've seen here in the style, it expanded because of that magazine. So like that whole James Dean thing was something that came out of here that ended up going everywhere in Southern California. Wherever that magazine was at, it was an influence.
Street Beat wouldn't last long. By the mid-90s, it was out of print. But while the magazine was coming out, it reflected Latinx teen lives, shining a bright positive light on party crews at a moment that was also one of the most tumultuous times in LA history. That's after the break.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpert.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As Eddie moved into party photography, He says he saw the scene change as gang violence, which was skyrocketing in L.A. in the late 80s and early 90s, started affecting parties.
Some of these crews lived in certain areas that were connected to the gangs of those areas. And so some of these party crews brought in homies from their neighborhood to go party with them. And there would be other crews with their homies from their neighborhoods that would be rivals at the same party. And before any of the big shootings happening at these parties. And I believe because of the gang violence, it kind of like helped to take down this backyard party scene to a certain extent. People were still partying, but it was always more risky. In this time frame from 1988 to 1998, we call it the Decade of Death.
The Decade of Death was a 10-year period where gang homicides in the county of Los Angeles peaked. In that same period was the Rodney King beating and the LA uprising that came after.
You can hear them now.
I mean, LA was tense, you know, so I was kind of wondering, like, how did you experience it?
Yeah, that was one of the big events of that era, in that time frame, was those riots, the Rodney King riots. It was crazy because it went on for about a week and a half, and the whole city was on fire. There was smoke everywhere. I got pictures of that as well, like being at a high point and just seeing all the dark, smoggy air in East Los Angeles. Cruising around and looking at the National Guard on every corner. I have pictures of that still.
It was around that time that Eddie told me he started experiencing his own challenges with substance abuse after graduating high school.
When I went to high school, football and baseball pulled me away from the street, so that I survived and I graduated high school because of the sports. When I got out, you know, I was making a little bit of money, and it was all about partying. My addiction, and seeing the homicide rate explode and everybody just getting killed and gang violence just exploding. Seeing everybody going down, it was like, who cares? We're going to die anyway. So might as well party as much as we can before we go. It got so bad where one day we were having the little baptism party at my mom's, and some of the guys from the neighborhood that were friends that weren't like the rowdy ones were there. And we're like, all right, it's time to go get some more beer. And so as we're walking outside, there's a car that creeps up. The lights are on, like, heads up, heads up, heads up. And we look, it goes to the corner and it starts blasting. Boom, boom, boom. We all hit the floor and they take off. We check on everybody. Everybody okay? Everybody okay? All right, let's go get that beer. Like if nothing happened. We were so desensitized from all that, where it was like nothing.
In 1994, Eddie says he got a wake-up call.
So I just was waking up every day looking for drugs. My mom got fed up with me and threw me out of the house. It was a tough love that I needed to wake up and step out of it. And she also threw out my negative books. And the rain tore up my negative. So I have some surviving images. The pictures you see, I've shown and shared with you guys. Some of the pictures that survived. Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
In the midst of the things that Eddie and his friends were going through and the Decade of Death, Street Beat was trying to send a positive message. I looked through an old issue of Street Beat from October-November of 1993. There was a glossy purple page with a headline in bold orange letters that said, "Pump It Up." It's a little article about party crews in El Sereno and Highland Park. The article praises the crews, X-Clan, Latins Above, Villains, Modern Men, and Suicide Kings for, quote, "throwing undergrounds and raves in peaceful fashion." And it encourages the crews to, quote, "show the police and the establishment that the raza can get it together." After losing his pictures, Eddie at that point focused on other things besides photography. He started working for the U.S. Forest Service while still dealing with his addiction. But he would eventually get sober in early 2000. And then in 2002, he joined the Marines. It was a long road, but Eddie eventually found his way back to photography.
Well, I think about what would have happened if I never partied. And so get out of the Marine Corps, go back and learn all the digital stuff. I'm getting published again, Sports Illustrated, ESPN, the magazine. It's like, this was my path the whole time. I fell off track, though. And it's like confirmed to me because I pick up where I left off and I'm right back in it.
And Eddie would find that even years later, his work documenting party crews would live on.
So now I'm the photographer at Homeboy Industries. And I meet some of these guys that were in the party crews from back in the days that got more into the gang life and got in trouble and doing all these stretches of jail time. And some of them remember the magazine. Oh my God, you shot for the magazine. Wow. Yeah, I remember that magazine. So we reminisce and we share pictures and remember some of the same people in some of these pictures that are still out there. You know, Guadalupe's page shows a lot of those friends from back in those days.
Eddie is talking about Guadalupe Rosales. She runs an account called Veteranas en Rucas, and she has been archiving the 90s party crew scene for years. Her popular Instagram profiles, Veteranas en Rucas, and Map Points, have become a space where people share their memories of their party crew days. As we're nearing the end of the interview, he shows me two other pictures that have a lot of meaning for him.
So this is the picture from 1992.
The first is a photograph of five young men on the steps of a chapel.
That's me in the middle, all skinny.
Two standing and the rest of them sitting. They're all looking proudly into the camera.
The casual guy.
Oh, what a great picture.
1992.
Eddie shows me the second picture.
And then 2017. Same spot.
Oh, man.
All those guys died.
It's the same shot, same place, but decades later. This was his friend group. And aside from him, only one is still alive. The skills and passion for photography Eddie built up in his youth, in the party crew scene, are still with him today. But it's not just his job. It's also how he's documented the changes in his life. It's how he remembers the good and the bad.
And, you know, I look back and think, man, I'm still here. Somehow I survived. And so that's why I'm at Homeboy. I feel, for me, it's like, fulfilling to be there. I can help those that are gone, and where I can help those that are still here. And I share my experience, my sobriety now, 21 years sober. You know, Father Greg, the founder of Homeboy Industries, talks about this community that you know, kids plan their funerals before they plan their life. That was me. I didn't think I was going to live to see the year 2000. But I was one of the lucky ones, I guess. I am. I know I am. I'm still alive and here to tell.
Thank you so much for this conversation and for, you know, opening up and sharing your story. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
That was photographer Eddie Rubalcaba. This episode was written, reported, and hosted by me, Janice Yamoka. It was produced by Marina Peña, Victoria Alejandro, Kyle Chang, and Sofia Palisa Carr. It was edited by Antonio Cerejido. Sound design and original music composition by Kyle Murdoch. Our supervising producer is Janet Lee. Art by Julie Ruiz and Victoire Coyon. Our executive producer from Vice Audio is Kate Osborne. Our executive producers from LA Studios are Antonia Cerejido and Leo G. Additional editing by Annie Aviles. Our vice president of podcast from LA Studios is Shayna Naomi Crocmo. Party Cruise, The Untold Story is a production of LA Studios and Vice Audio in partnership with iHeart's Michael Tura Podcast Network. For more podcasts, listen to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Special thanks to the UCLA Department of Communication Archive for access to their news collection. Subscribe to our show anywhere you listen to podcasts. And hey, were you in a party crew? Send us your party flyers or photos. I'd love to see them. Even a voice message about your memories, anything. You can send us a message or a picture at partycruise@leastudios.com. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes Los Angeles a better place to live. This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.